KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9:03, it's cloudy and 60 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. A Dallas County man died Wednesday afternoon near Perry when the pickup he was driving went out of control and rolled into a ditch. The Iowa State Patrol says 44-year-old Andrew Dean Bach of Perry died at the scene of the crash in the 14,000 block of H Avenue. The accident happened at around 2:15 p.m. when Bach failed to negotiate a curve in the road and his 2003 GMC Sierra rolled into the east ditch. The patrol says Bach was not wearing a seatbelt. News time is 9:03.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
The state has rested its case against a Minnesota man charged with the killing of a convenience store clerk in northern Iowa. Michael Swanson of St. Louis Park, Minnesota, was 17 when he was accused of killing Sheila Myers in Humboldt last November. The state rested its case Wednesday afternoon in Carroll. Earlier, the prosecution had presented a videotaped police interview showing a tired and hungry Swanson puffing away on cigarettes as he admitted shooting Sheila Myers in the face. Swanson smirked when asked to reenact what he described as a surprised half-scream, half-gasp that Myers made when he pulled the trigger. Swanson says he felt powerful. He's also charged with killing another clerk in Algona that same day. His trial in that case is set for July. A small group of legislators are meeting at the State House today to try and hammer out compromises on several key budget bills. Things got a bit testy in the Iowa Senate yesterday as Republicans and Democrats argued over a $1.5 billion spending bill for the state's Health and Human Services program. Senator Jack Hatch, a Democrat from Des Moines, argued vulnerable Iowans are in jeopardy because Republicans have insisted on an overall state budget that spends less than $6 billion.
Am I whining? No. Am I warning? Yes.
Hatch got angrier and louder as he vowed not to reduce spending any further.
I'm making it very clear that if children's abuse goes unreported, undetected, if we don't get there soon enough, and children are hurt because of it, don't be surprised.
Later, it was the Republicans' turn to complain. Senator Bill Dix, a Republican from Shell Rock, criticized Democrats for proposing a 3% increase in state support of public schools for the fall of 2012.
And to promise something that may not be able to be delivered upon is simply not good judgment.
Dix and other Republicans are proposing a 2% increase in state school aid instead of a 3% that Democrats had suggested. Senator Mark Shellgren, a Republican from Ottumwa, blamed rising tensions at the State House on the looming deadline to get budget issues resolved before July the 1st when the new state budgeting year begins.
And I won't put blame on any one group. I think both sides are guilty of this. We have spent months out talking to people, our constituents, and trying to market ourselves without doing the work of the people, in my opinion.
Senate Republicans tried to stage a sort of sleep-in at the State House, trying to keep the Senate in session around the clock until the budget impasse is resolved. But Democrats rebuffed the move at around 8:30 p.m. The Senate has reconvened this hour in Des Moines. The Iowa Senate has approved a package calling for the state to spend $1.1 billion on Medicaid, a program shared with the federal government that provides health care for the poor and elderly people. The Medicaid spending was part of a $1.5 billion measure funding human services programs. The Senate, controlled by Democrats, approved the measure Wednesday on a 26-23 vote in Senate to the House, which has approved a different version. Democratic Senator Jack Hatch of Des Moines, the main backer of the measure, complained that it didn't spend enough and blamed the legislative Republicans and Governor Terry Branstad, who pushed for a limit on state spending. Democratic leaders have reluctantly agreed to approve that level. Democrats running in the Iowa Senate have approved a measure that sticks with their plan for cutting property taxes and spending more on local schools. The Senate approved the plan Wednesday on a 26-21 vote along party lines with Democrats in favor. The plan contrasts with proposals backed by Republican Governor Terry Branstad and the GOP-controlled House. They support deep reductions in business taxes and no increase in school funding this fiscal year, followed by a 2% increase the following year. Democrats argue their property tax package is focused on small businesses and cost less than Branstad's plan. Democrats have agreed not to increase local school aid this year, but their plan includes a 3% increase in the next fiscal year. As we mentioned, a Senate-backed plan goes to the House. An effort to restrict the use of money generated by red light traffic cameras has failed in the Iowa State House. The Senate debated a proposal on Tuesday that would have siphoned revenues for the state's use, not the cities where the cameras are located. Senator Mark Shelgren, a Republican from Ottumwa, says the money would go into Iowa's road use tax fund.
It would take out the motivation to do it for any reason other than public safety, which is, after all, what this is supposed to be for.
Traffic cameras that record red light runners and speeding violations can bring in some big bucks. Civil libertarians complain the cameras violate the public's right to privacy and claim they're simply a cash grab by local governments. Cedar Rapids collected nearly $3.5 million in fines the first year alone that the cameras were in place. Shelgren says using the money for statewide road repairs would ensure that cities don't put up the cameras simply to make a buck.
As opposed to going for whatever individual profit-making incentive might be there, and to eliminate that as any kind of excuse, the money going from any ticketing done electronically with regards to photo cameras would instead go to the road use tax fund, which then can be used, of course, to improve our roadways and make them safer, thereby winning all the way around.
Seven Iowa communities use the red light traffic cameras, including Council Bluffs.
In my opinion, everyone wins with this because it is truly at this point for safety.
Shelgren introduced his proposal during Senate debate on a transportation budget bill, but Democrats ruled it wasn't relevant. Senate President Jack Kibbe refused to allow a vote on the proposal. Voters are being reminded about a change in Iowa law that takes effect next week across the state's waterways. The legislature this session approved a lower legal blood alcohol limit for those operating a motorboat or a sailboat. Officer Sean Meyer with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources says the move from .10 to .08 places drunken boating laws in line with those for other motorists.
When people are boating, a lot of times they trailer out to the boat ramps. They've driven out there and they get intoxicated. They're maybe between .08 and .1. They're now getting into a vehicle and driving home, okay? We want to stop that process of getting intoxicated and operating any motor vehicle.
Last year, 35 people were arrested for drunken boating at the .10 level in Iowa.
You know, we had a major fatality last year on the Coralville Reservoir that alcohol was involved with. The person wasn't considered intoxicated by the old standards, and we still knew they were under the influence of alcohol. You know, we're going to see that. We're going to make that enforcement. We don't want any more deaths to occur.
The new .08 law goes into effect on July the 1st, and Meyer does not expect a big increase in the number of drunken boating arrests this year because of the change.
A lot of people have started getting a designated driver and paying attention to what the alcohol they're consuming, that it's only someone in the boat, not the operator. It's a sober driver. So I really don't see that we're going to see a spike in numbers.
People convicted of operating a boat while intoxicated will lose their boating privileges for a year. Meyer says an arrest for boating under the influence is a serious misdemeanor but has no effect on one's driver's license. Taking a look at news on Wall Street at this hour, the stocks have opened sharply lower after the government reported an unexpected jump in claims for unemployment benefits. The number of people applying for unemployment rose to 429,000 last week. That's more than expected. It's also the latest sign that hiring has weakened from earlier this year. Oil prices fell 4% after the International Energy Agency said 60 million barrels of oil would be released from reserves to make up for the loss of Libyan exports. And that sent energy stocks like ExxonMobil sharply lower. Right now, the Dow is down nearly 168 points. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
And in the funeral announcements, 92-year-old Marvin Westfall of Fontenelle died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Marvin Westfall will be this morning at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. 94-year-old Isla Knudsen of Harlan died Sunday. Funeral services for Isla Knudsen will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. 102-year-old Floyd Sherburn, who's formerly of Guthrie Center, died June the 12th in Georgia. Funeral services for Floyd Sherburn will be on Friday at 1 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. 77-year-old Glenn Rokols of Greenfield and formerly of Adair died May the 25th. Graveside services and burial for Glenn Rokols will be held Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Canby Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. 63-year-old Greg Barnett of Atlantic died Saturday in Elkhorn. Visitation with the family of Greg Barnett will be on Monday from 10:30 until 11:30 a.m. at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And 88-year-old Willis Blatt of Avoca died Wednesday at his home. Funeral services for Willis Blatt are currently pending at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Our news was brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank located at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.